This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
There's a lot going on, West Durham. I hope you're doing well.
I'm fine on this first day of January. It's happy anniversary.
No, it's July. July. It's not the first of January. Man, listen, 2020 has been brutal. What? Can we put the first 6 months rearview mirror? This is the start of the second half of what has been literally a brutal year. A brutal year. So I don't want to go January. Let's go July moving forward. Second half's going to be better.
Okay. First of July it is. And it's an anniversary on the 1st of July.
Again, another one.
Today we celebrate Syracuse, Pittsburgh, and Notre Dame. And by the way, Louisville a year later in the ACC membership, all on July 1. How about that?
Yeah, I had some guy on Twitter, and it's normal. Like this week, everybody's had a good time mocking the all-decade team that we put out. But this guy on Twitter said, you know, you guys did a big deal for Virginia Tech and Miami. You're not going to do anything for Syracuse, sorry. And I was like, well, why wouldn't we? Of course we are. I mean, if there's a specific date of note or a player or a coach, yeah, here's the guy, James Curtin. And so I wrote back. I said, well, why not? Why wouldn't we do a celebration for everybody on an anniversary? Mm-hmm. So we got four other ACC teams celebrating an anniversary today, as you pointed out, with both Pitt and Syracuse doing their thing. And, of course, Louisville the year after. Notre Dame jumped on board this year, too, 7 years ago today, with everything but football. So, yeah, it's a really big deal. And it totally changed the landscape of the Atlantic Coast Conference and completely changed the landscape.
Absolutely. So you get the three schools in 2013. 1 year later, you throw Pittsburgh in on the Louisville in on top of that. And that's where the ACC stands at 15 institutions. And, you know, it's been pretty solid since. So happy anniversary to those four schools. You know, Syracuse, Pitt, and Notre Dame, 1 year ahead of Louisville in terms of their membership. But another anniversary. By the way, Syracuse, since then, 11 ACC titles, two national titles. Notre Dame, 19 ACC titles, four national titles. And Louisville's won four in the conference, and Pittsburgh's won three in the league, Pac. So pretty good stuff from those four latest members of the ACC, if you will.
Just a snapshot of those four, Wes. If I said to you, since they've been members of the conference, is there a moment or moments for those four respective schools since they've joined the ACC that immediately come to mind as a fan of the conference?
Well, for Notre Dame, it would have to be the national championship in women's basketball, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree.
Yeah. For Louisville, I would say Lamar Jackson. Something about Lamar Jackson. Take me the Friday night Syracuse game. I mean, you know, the Heisman Trophy that year. You know, anything along those lines. Chris Mack had him ranked number one in the country briefly this past year. Dan McDonald's done a marvelous job with baseball. Took him to the College World Series as a member of the ACC.
Women's basketball with Louisville as well. I mean, I think you kind of understood when Louisville joined the league that basketball would be the strength. And even though football's had some highlights too, you mentioned Lamar winning the Heisman. And really, their entire athletic department is so well-rounded. You mentioned football, basketball, baseball. They've delivered really everything to it. You know, I think of Syracuse, for example. Dino's had some unbelievable wins, right? I mean, the knockoff of Clemson coming up to the Dome a couple years back on the middle of the weekend. Was it a Friday night that just people went crazy? And you're
Friday
like, holy,
well,
you're like, holy mackerel, what's this all about? And he almost pulled the upset the year after that. But, you know, you thought that Syracuse joining the league, that basketball would be the strength, right? You just assumed Jim Boeheim, what Q's been doing up there from the women's perspective, that would have been a no-brainer. We know about, you know, lacrosse and all that other stuff, which they just dominate and do a great job with Olympic sports. But you really thought, and I've told you this before, I thought Syracuse basketball would have actually had a bigger impact in the league than it has. Am I wrong to think that way?
Yeah, and I think, and look, they went to a Final Four. I mean, they went to Houston to the Final Four where they played Carolina in the semifinals after they beat Virginia in the Elite Eight in Chicago, right? So, I mean, there have been moments for that basketball program, and it's just not capitalized itself in terms of the ACC. I mean, there's Malachi Richardson. Who will ever forget the second half he had that day? Tyler Lydon and others. I mean, it's interesting that, you know, a little bit like we talked about with Miami yesterday. Everybody thought, you know, when Miami came in this league, it would be an auto football power. And, you know, they've had some football moments, but they've had as many moments in other sports as maybe, you know, you would have not expected. I think that the moment they had in men's basketball a few years ago in Atlanta winning the ACC tournament was phenomenal, and I look at it kind of that way with these other institutions as well. I mean, Louisville, you would have assumed basketball. Syracuse, you would have assumed basketball, and they've been in other sports. And to a degree, I think it shows the comprehensive nature of those departments and the work that's being done by the coaches and obviously the athletic administration to create the resources and infrastructure to do it. But, I mean, look at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh had, you know, Jamie Dixon had a very good team when they first came into the ACC, and that team had a nice year, but it did not have the Pittsburgh-type year they'd had in the Big East when they left. You know, their biggest moments have been, you know, potentially in, I mean, certainly they had a football moment the Friday after Thanksgiving when they beat Miami, right?
Well, how about when Pat Narduzzi went down to Death Valley and kicked the field goal?
I think
that's Clemson's only home loss in, it seems like, 100 years. So they went down there and took care of business game. So, you know, they've had their moments from that perspective. Like you said, they've had a chance to knock off some top two, top three teams, all that great stuff. And I think the team they've got this year, I told you before, I think they're the sleeper of the ACC. Nobody talking about them, and that defense is going to be out of sight. But you're right about Jamie Dixon. I thought that, you know, at that point in time, Pittsburgh basketball was on certainly solid footing. And then they went through a little bit of a lull. Mm-hmm. But now, of course, Capel's coming in there. He rejuvenated the recruiting. They're excited. They've done a whole entire new brand in terms of going back old school, which I love. I mean, I see the, you know, these uniforms and all this stuff. But, you know, there's still work to be done on that front. They're trying to make inroads from a baseball perspective with changes on that front. We just had Heather Like on the show last week, and she's talked about the energy surrounding their athletic department right now in terms of really quality hires. And she's done a really, really nice job in that department. Again, I think they're looking down the road to have some immediate impact across the board in the ACC.
Well, here's the other thing, too, and this is not something that appears on the surface, right? But yesterday we talked to two athletic directors. We talked to Blake James from Miami and Whip Babcock, who joined us for the first time from Virginia Tech. But in the last month, we've talked to Vince Tyree of Louisville, Heather Like from Pittsburgh. We've talked to John Wildhack earlier this week from Syracuse. The key element, no matter what happens in the fall, and I'll use the schools we're talking about, and certainly we visited with Jack Swarbrick on radio before, Pac, as you know, I think that the athletic administrations of these institutions is proving to be a difference maker in where the ACC is going to fit in college athletics. Through the pandemic and out of the pandemic, I think the ACC's athletic leadership here is second to none. And that's not to demean other leagues or throw shade at other leagues and their leadership, but I think the ACC leadership is exceptional. And that's going to be very, very important as we come out of this, for sure.
I've said this for 20-some-odd years on radio. I'll say it again on television. If you're weak at the top, I don't care what line of work it is that you do. It could be an insurance company, a pizza parlor, a gas station, a network, whatever the case may be. If you are weak at the top, you are bound to fail. If you don't have great leadership, there is a true ceiling of what you can possibly do. When you have great leadership, in great times you rock, in tough times you get even better because you figure out ways and solutions. I think it's one of the things that's going on right now in college athletics, and I'll say this for the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, and everybody else. And you have brought this up, I think, every time we've either had Commissioner Swofford on or an athletic director. The ability for folks, even though they compete, they want to win. Wildhack mentioned it. Blake James mentioned it. Whit Babcock this week mentioned it. Everybody wants to win. It is a competitive business. But when you get in this situation where everybody's in the same boat, you have to figure out a way to work with each other. You may be coming from completely different backgrounds. You may have completely different budgets, different strengths, different markets, everything else. But the real smart, successful people figure out solutions. And that starts at the top. And I mean, you can look at all the great companies in this country, the ones that have been innovative and figured out ways that when times are tough, how do you get through it? And right now, college athletics across the board is facing something it has never seen before in your lifetime, unless you were alive in 1918. So this is a, again, I keep saying it's a fascinating time for not only what the pandemic and COVID-19 present in terms of how we're going to move forward with football, but you throw in all the racial and social unrest, and that's a whole different animal. You got name, image, and likeness over here. In addition to trying to run a department, win games, have great coaches, players, graduate your kids. I mean, it for these athletic directors, I don't know what they're getting paid, but they're earning every cent. But the most important thing is you better park your ego. You better park your trophy case and say, hey, listen, we're all in this thing together. We have to figure out a way to survive and get through this. And you know what else, Wes? In addition to all these great teams that we're talking about in the addition with expansion, fans have to do the same thing. Mm. And you know what? North Carolina fans may hate NC State and vice versa, and Syracuse and Pitt and BC in the Northeast don't like each other, Miami and Florida State, and you know all the combos you want. But I got news for you. As a fan, you better be flexible, and you better understand that, hey, this upcoming year is going to be unlike anything you've been asked to do, whether it be your tailgate spot, how many games you can go to, social distancing. I mean, you name it. This is going to be unlike anything else. So the sooner you can mentally adjust and understand, hey, you know what? It's not going to be exactly that I park in spot 463-8 to the ninth power, and I've got my Bojangles chicken and my sweet tea, and I'm going to the game, and I'm sitting beside Bob and Susan, and we're in section one. Hey, it may not be that at all. And so instead of, you know, going crazy and screaming and pointing fingers, you got to understand this is a year in which you must be flexible and understand it's going to be different. So the sooner you can get that in your DNA and your makeup, the better off you're going to be and everybody else is going to be. It is an unbelievable time that we're living in right now. So, you know, you can do the gloom and doom and go, oh, my God, this is the worst thing ever. Or you just say, okay, hey, this is the hand we're dealt. Now, let's figure out a way to make this great. And I think you're seeing that from a leadership standpoint in the ACC and even around the country. It's really been interesting to watch it work behind the scenes.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Tons of cool guests coming up, including, Wes, as you pointed out, a guy that everybody in the ACC is like, all right, now, well, we saw this guy wheeling and dealing at the University of Houston. He transfers to Miami. Canes fans are excited. This guy is electric. I call him Mr. King, but that'd be De'Arik King joins us now from down in beautiful Coral Gables. De'Arik, first of all, how you feeling? Everything good down there? Looking good in that green, man.
Yes, sir. I feel pretty good. Just looking forward to whatever's coming.
De'Arik, it's take me through the winter. I mean, because you get there for the back end of the spring, you're there a little bit for whatever the spring program was and the football deal before it all got shut down. How much acclimation were you able to get into? And I gotta imagine you and Coach Lashley, Manny Diaz, his offensive coordinator, have been able to spend a lot of time together.
Yeah, I got there in the winter, so I had all the winter workouts to get acclimated to the guys and get to know the guys pretty well. I did a week of spring football, then we went spring break, and then never came back after that. So it's been a weird year, but as far as me getting acclimated to the team, and it's been good.
This whole pandemic, right? I mean, the spring football gets shut down. You guys have to figure out a way to work out. Again, you got ties to Texas where it's always 150 degrees. Now you're down there in beautiful South Beach and life is good. In terms of the workout, because you're such a great athlete, the workout for you during the pandemic looked like what? What did you do? What did you do from a creative standpoint?
I found a small gym. So I'm from Houston, so I was in Houston the whole pandemic. I found a small gym and a trainer, and basically it was just me and that trainer every single day, just one-on-one work, just not trying to be around too many people and trying to stay safe. So it was different because you're not around a lot of guys.
Okay. De'Arik, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. So what do you do? I mean, just out of curiosity, say, what is a workout for you when you go hang out with the trainer?
As far as strength and conditioning, maybe it's pushing the car because we had limited resources. So pushing the car, just running sprints, just trying to find anything you can do to get better.
How much did you throw? Did you throw a lot?
I threw a good amount, but it most of the time it wasn't to receivers. It was always to like a trainer just setting up at a spot, and I would act like if she was running a route. So it was different.
Derek, why did you pick Miami? I mean, what was it that you said, hey, you know what, this fits, whether it be lifestyle, the way this team plays, the unis. I mean, I don't know what the answer is going to be on this, but there had to be a reason you said, you know what, I could stay at Houston, put up a gazillion number of yards and everything else, but Miami made sense. Why is that?
I feel like when I entered the portal, I had a few schools that I was looking at, and when Coach Diaz hired Coach Lashley, I loved his offense. I was playing against him while he was at SMU. I think it was a good fit for me. And Miami has great history behind the program. And they have a lot of talent out here. And I just wanted to come be a part of it.
Derek, was it as much about – and Rhett Lashley has what they call basically a two-back play action system. But his quarterbacks have always put up the balanced numbers. Now, he's had some guys that were – nowhere near as athletic as you. He's had some that were close to your athleticism, but you might be the best combination of runner thrower that he's had. How much did that factor into this?
It factored to a great deal. He coached guys like Cam Newton, who's obviously a mobile quarterback, but he's a bigger guy. Guys like Nick Marshall, Shane Buechele, and you just see the different kind of quarterback that he coached, and they all had success in the system. So I factored that in a lot when I made my decision.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. You know, every time I watched highlights of you at Houston, I mean, you were a freak, and I mean that in a positive sense, right? I mean, you just did stuff. You went, wow, you kidding me? Did you see that play? Now, again, I know it's been limited in terms of what you can do with this team, but when you look at this roster, D'Eric, who is the one guy that you go, hey, you know what? That guy is a freak. Who is that guy? First guy that pops in your head is what?
Cam Harris.
Why?
Cam Harris, running back. Well, when I first seen him run, when I first got there, my first went to work, I was like, whoa, this guy's this big, running that fast. And then when we got in spring ball, he showed out all 4 days. So he surprised the heck out of me. I'm anxious to see him play this year.
Is a workout at Miami, I mean, like a voluntary workout where you guys 7-on-7 or whatever the case may be, is that just an absolute freak show of athleticism on both sides?
Man, I tell you, it's a lot of great athletes out here. Especially when I first got here, I was kind of like shocked. Everybody can run, everybody can move, everybody looks like the best player on the team. So yeah, I would say it is. it's pretty insane.
What do you know about the ACC?
I know Clemson has won a lot over the past few years. I know they have great defenses in the conference, a lot of defensive head coaches. So it's going to be a challenge for any offense that plays in the conference.
I think that one of the more curious aspects of this upcoming season, D'Eric, is the unknown, right? I mean, there's so many different things going on, from guys coming back to campuses to work out who are having to be tested, you know, to the fact that it's small groups right now, hoping to be bigger groups as we get into August, I guess. And then there are games. We've talked to a lot of coaches. We've talked to some athletic directors about some of the characteristics and qualities that it's going to take to kind of be able to get our arms around the 2020 football season. But I don't know that we've asked any players what they think it's going to be like. What do you think, as a guy who's played at another institution, now transferred to Miami, what do you think the characteristics and qualities that are going to be most important to playing college football this year are going to be?
I think the team that is willing to block out all the noise and not worry about distractions. Like, it might be no fans in the stands, or you might have to miss a few games or push the season back. I think the team that is going to be able to lock in and whatever comes at them, just go out there and play ball. I think that team will be successful this year because it's different than any other year ever in college football history. So the team that can weather the storm will be successful.
All right. You know, anytime we do an interview, especially with a guy as good as this, I want to find out. I mean, you're from Texas. You know, when I think of Texas, I think of high school football. I think of football, period, and I think of brisket. Now, you're going down into Miami. It's a totally different culture. Totally different culture, right? You gotta miss the barbecue, right? If you go down to Miami, and I know they're gonna say, "Oh, Pac, we got great barbecue." Yeah, no, man, come on, it's Texas, man. You can't mess with me with Texas with this deal, right? I mean, you're gonna miss that, aren't you?
Of course, I feel like Texas barbecue is the best in the country. But Miami has great food as well. But I'm a Houston boy. I'm from Texas. I miss Whataburger every single day out there. I miss the barbecue. I miss the Texas Mexican food, all that. But I'm doing fine out here. Right. A lot of good Cuban food out here.
Oh, that's where I wanted to follow up with you, because it's a different culture now. The Cuban food in South Beach now that's a whole different animal. So you've already gotten hooked into that, right?
Yes, sir. I had it a few times. My first time ever having Cuban food was when I came out here. So. I ate it two or three times. I'm a fan of it, but I can't eat it every single day. You know what I mean?
Well, wait a minute. You could, but you'd look like me. That's the problem.
Exactly.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Hey, Derek, what do we need to know about Manvel, Texas? Because I get the feeling you might be holding out on your hometown with us here a little bit. Because I think Manvel sounds like a place where everybody knows how to play ball, and it's a big deal on Friday night.
No doubt. Manvel, Texas is a small town right outside of Houston. To be honest with you, all they care about is football. My class, we had 16 D1s. Two quarterbacks went D1. It's a real football town. When I first moved there, it was surprising me. It's like anything you see on a Texas high school football movie. The whole town shuts down on Fridays. Nobody's just working. Everybody's at the game. And after the game, everybody goes to Whataburger. So it's a typical high school town here in Texas.
All right, you've given Whataburger two plugs already on this interview. So you walk in the Whataburger. What's the order? You know you got a go-to order, right? You got to have one.
No doubt.
So what is it?
Yeah, I'm getting a number five bacon and cheeseburger, plain, just bacon and cheese, nothing else on it, with a medium fry and a strawberry shake.
Nothing on it. I mean, it's that good that no ketchup, no tomato, no lettuce. It's just that's it. Cheese and that's it.
I'm weird. I don't eat any condiments. I don't like anything extra on any of my food. So ketchup, mustard, anything like that, I'm not touching it.
All right. So if you ordered a hot dog, you mean to tell me you'd eat the thing plain?
I eat the hot dog with chili and cheese. That's it.
Chili and cheese. All right. I was going to say, if you walk in here and eat a plain hot dog, dude, I'm going to have to – you're going down a notch in my list. I got to be honest with you. You can't just eat a plain hot dog. Man, come on. I know better than that. Hey, by the way, is there a game on the schedule? I know you're going to tell me, pack the first game, Temple's all we're worried about. Don't give me the coach speak. Yeah. Is there a game, though, on that schedule that you said, hey, you know what, 2020, this is when the Canes become the Canes. Is there one on there that just pops off the list to you?
Of course, Florida State. Florida State and North Carolina for me. Those two teams, pretty big games. Want to win those.
I guarantee it. Florida State. Yeah. That Michigan State game, though. Hey, Derek, that Michigan game. State. Yeah, you know what? Because I think you guys are going to get off to a quick start, and the country's going to go, okay, Miami, you come rolling in there with a zero in the loss column. Here comes Sparty. They got a new coach. You got to go on the road. That's one of those kind of statement games that say, guess what? You better deal with us this year.
Yes, sir. No doubt. The first big road game, every game is a big game. I'm going to get it through. Every game is a big game, but the first big road game for us, week 4, looking forward to that one.
Yes, sir. Well, I can't wait to watch you play, man, because I've seen you do your thing at Houston, and, man, you were spectacular, and it's great having you not only at Miami but also in the ACC.
I appreciate you.
De'Eric King, I tell you what, you've been fantastic with us. We appreciate your time. We wish you all the best and look forward to visiting with you once the season gets closer. And maybe once the season gets started, we can hook in a couple times, okay?
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. One more. Can I throw one more on there, Wes?
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, because I know you know we got a little transfer here, but I do need to ask the question. And Derek, we ask this to every student athlete who comes on the show. What has been the hardest class you've had at Miami so far?
The hardest class I had in Miami, it was human perspective. My first last semester, I wouldn't say it was hard, but it challenged the way you thought. So it challenged the way you thought every single day. And the professor was a great teacher, and he challenged you.
And did he say to you, man, son, how in the world do you walk into Whataburger and not put some ketchup or tomato or lettuce or, you know, anything on it? He didn't ask you that, did he?
To be honest with you, I don't think he even knows what Whataburger is. every time I talk about Whataburger out here, they're like, it's not that good, or they never had it, or anything like that.
That's great. I love it. Well, listen, we wish you the best, man. Stay healthy, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
You bet. De'Eric King of Miami. Great to have him in the ACC. You're right, Pac. That is a star in the league. He shows up with unbelievable credentials from his play at the University of Houston. We're excited to see him with Rhett Lashley's offense and Manny Diaz's program this fall.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
De'Eric King, get used to that name, folks. I'm just telling you, that dude is a baller. And the Canes have somebody under center who can make some serious plays. The key is going to be that offensive line, though, Wes. I'll go back to it over and over. I think same with Florida State. Yep. I think if those two institutions can figure that out, they can be much better than expected, because there are players all over the place at both schools. Mm-hmm. And but Miami's got a true playmaker under center. That guy is a really, really good player.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy who, Pac, I think is electric in the light of when you think about what they're going to do with Rhett Lashley's offense. And he rolled out a couple of the names, right? I mean, he mentioned Nick Marshall. That's the guy who I think if you're going to take Rhett Lashley's work and – kind of fit De'Eric King into what Rhett Lashley's done in his past, Nick Marshall's the guy for me. That's the guy who I think that if you go back and look at Nick Marshall tape, and that'll be something we'll talk to him maybe if we get another chance before the season starts, is, you know, whose tape have they been watching as they install the offense? My guess would be Nick Marshall.
You know, I know this. In sports, when you go by a first name or one name basis, you are a star. De'Eric, is going to be a star. And so is the next feature going to see. When you hear Tiana, it's all you need to know.
Yep. Yep. It's been a year since she announced she'd been diagnosed with cancer. And, of course, Tiana was nice enough to tell us her story in her own words of her battle.
Tiana is cheeky, sporty, and fun to be around.
She's a very witty kid. She's always in a good mood. One of those players that plays hard and plays free.
I don't like to dwell on things. I'll try to be happy and positive.
I'm from Australia and Brisbane. I have 5 brothers and we all played basketball together.
Tiana played against them all the time, so when you're playing brothers that are fairly strong, you have to get tough.
When I realized that I was kind of good at it, would probably be 8th grade. And so from then I just started doing extra practice and extra training.
Tiana's always known what she's wanted, and I just knew she would pick the university that was right for her. I didn't even know where Syracuse was. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
When I was coming to America, it was really sad as well because the time difference, and it's just so far away. But it was something that I knew I wanted to do. I knew that they needed a point guard. And the way Coach Q, like, when he recruited me, he didn't promise me anything. He told me that I have to work for it, and I liked that just because I felt like it was real.
Tiana is a very fiery player, very competitive. She plays best when you need her most.
What an outstanding performance by Deanna Mangakahi of 44 points.
When the season ended, I had to decide if I wanted to stay for the next year or leave.
Hey, Orange Nation. I've decided to come back for another year, and I feel like this team can go far next year, and we have a lot of potential.
She was in great shape. She was doing really, really well. So I was really, really excited for her.
I need to work out every day. That was my goal. And then, like the end of May, I had found a lump on my breast and I went to the health center.
How did you find it?
When I was getting the ultrasound, I could kind of tell that it was something bad because of like the lady that was doing it. She gave off this vibe, and they put me into a room and the doctor had come down and he was like, yeah, we're gonna have to run more tests. And then I think June 18th, the doctor called me and he was like, you have invasive ductal carcinoma. And I was like, what is that? Like, I didn't even know. And he was like, it's a form of breast cancer. I was very upset and it didn't feel real. It really didn't feel real because I didn't feel sick at all. I would say I felt shocked.
Horrifying for all of us because we weren't here either. That was hard. So I had to talk to her across the phone and basically let her know that it was going to be okay.
And I was lying in bed and I could hear them talking one morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and crying. That was a horrible night.
We didn't know how it worked. We didn't know what the process was. We didn't know anything. So then I ended up going in to meet with Coach Q.
She walks in and she just breaks out crying and tells me she has breast cancer. And she cried. We cried for like 30 seconds. I mean, literally. And we said, all right, we got to figure out a way to beat this because at that point, I had to become coach again.
I would have to have chemotherapy first and then surgery after chemotherapy. And chemo would be 4 months. Chemo was really hard to get through. Like, it was really, really hard to get through.
You see her sitting there, and then they put all of these drugs and chemicals into her to help her out. It was tough.
When she lost her hair, then we all knew. This is really serious. She's really sick.
My life felt like it was stopping when everyone else's was like kept going. But yeah, I would say losing my hair was the hardest thing. My last chemo treatment, for me, it was like, thank goodness, like, this chapter is over.
Thanks for coming. I'm good.
Everyone came and sat there and we counted down.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I couldn't even explain how much it meant to me because I don't know how, like, if I even would have gotten through it without them.
Oh my gosh.
After chemo, I had to wait 1 month until I could get surgery. I decided to get a double mastectomy, just so that, you know, it can never come back in the future. Hi, I'm about to go in. We just pulled up and parked with my mom. And so, wish me luck. Before they took me in, I was really emotional. I tried to stay strong because I didn't want to be sad in front of my family or my parents. So
but I was really scared.
She came out, and of course, that's a pretty hard thing for a young woman to go through.
During surgery, they checked the lymph nodes to make sure that there was no cancer in my lymph nodes and that it hadn't spread, and they told me that I was cancer-free and that there was no cancer in my lymph nodes. It was a great feeling. I felt like everything that I was doing was working. And if I just listened to the doctors and do what they told me, like, everything would just go how it should. It's been hard to watch the girls.
Dia! Dia! Middle M!
But being on the bench there...
Let's go, good job.
It's really helping me be more of a leader through my words.
The shooter is coming to the corner, so make sure we talk on that.
Instead of my actions, because I'm unable to play.
She loves her teammates. You know, they're her everything.
I don't think they realize how much it means to me that I'm crossing their mind or that they're thinking about me. And it just felt like their family. After rehab and everything, I was back on the court. I was working out every day. My goal is to train like I've never trained before. I think about the first game back when I returned back to the court. You know, I dream about coming out and just playing my heart out, diving on the floor and a lot of points and assists. That's like my dream, to just have an amazing game and, yeah, win.
Tiana, she's awesome. And you know what, Wes? She's coming up next. I can't wait to talk to her.
Packer and Durham.
De'Eric first, Tiana second. You ready to roll, Wes? I've been looking forward to this interview for a long time.
Absolutely. I mean, really one of the most inspiring people in all of college athletics, but just showed great courage a year ago after the diagnosis. Tiana, it's Wes Durham with Mark Packer. We welcome you to the show here on ACC Network. Thanks so much for spending time with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I got to tell you, you look great. You are so inspirational. And it's one thing to go through it. It's another thing to say, listen, you bring the cameras in, because if it can help somebody else, hey, more power to you. But, man, congratulations for everything. I know that, you know, we take advantage of every day on top of the earth, and you sit there and you go, oh, man, I'm having a tough day. You know what? You've seen tough days. You are so inspirational. It's awesome to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Especially
Tiana, do you see this?
Sorry,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, all the support I've had has been extremely helpful throughout that whole process.
Do you see everything differently now than a year ago? I mean, is everything different or just certain aspects of this?
I think for me, I would say everything, not everything, but almost everything is different for me. Just my perspective on things and just really everything I do. It's like nothing's really that hard. I feel like because I've been through so much, I just feel like I can get through anything else. And I don't think there's many hard things anymore.
I can tell you something that you can't do. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
I caught your vlog, your very first one. And you know what I enjoyed the most about that? The bloopers at the end. I said, you know what? Anybody that can make fun of themselves is going to be a buddy of mine. And I've, you know, followed your story because it's so great. But I caught your vlog down there, and you're down there talking about your brothers and all the workout and the cool setting, your mom and dad, all that stuff. But the bloopers at the end were spectacular. So, you know, you can't get through a vlog without screwing up. You know, here we are. We're 20 seconds into this interview. We've already stumbled on each other. So you're going to fit right in with us. All right, Tian, I'm just going to tell you, you have found the right spot with us.
Yeah, that starting my vlogs was so difficult. Oh my gosh!
But I know you said you always wanted to do it, and now, hey, tag, you're it. But I tell you what, the setting at home in Australia, man, what a beautiful deal that is, right? I mean, I've never been there. I've always wanted to go to Australia and New Zealand, and man, I'm sitting here watching your vlog, going, man, what a beautiful setting! And not to mention all those brothers. I mean, you have to put up with those five brothers. No wonder why you're so tough.
Yeah, I know. I love home. I love Australia. I loved being back there with my family. And yeah, my brothers, growing up, they picked on me all the time. Definitely made me. That's the reason why I'm so tough now. But no, Australia is definitely my home, and I love that place.
So now that you're back in Central New York, trying to get ready for the 2020 season. Is this normal? Would you be in Syracuse this summer, or is this just part of the new routine for you as you get back to playing basketball this fall?
So usually I would be in Syracuse right now, because usually we start workouts on the 1st of July. And so because of COVID, we're not able to start for probably like another week or two. But this is regular. This is what we usually do to prepare for the season.
Tell me, what was the one thing you missed the most? I mean, other than family, obviously, because you talked about the distance is always tough and the time difference with Australia and East Coast. But going through this process, well, give me one little thing that you said, you know what, you won't even think about it in a normal day, but after going through what you did, the one little thing that you missed the most.
I would say just being like normal, like just being able to do what I usually do every day and like hang out with my friends. Like when I was going through chemo, there were days where I got ready to go out with my teammates, and it got to like, I don't know, like 10 p.m. and I just could not go. So I was all dressed up, ready to go out with them, and then I was like, oh, I'm so tired, I can't go. And I would be just exhausted from doing absolutely nothing. So just like being regular.
Yeah. Tiana, I was, I don't know how it struck you, but when we saw the Tough for T signs and the pens and all the things last year, I was up there for a basketball broadcast in January for Pittsburgh and Syracuse, and I know that was a big weekend because that's when the campaign was kind of hitting its peak and the momentum was just so strong. What did that mean to you? The support you had, I mean, you're from the other side of the world, and you had this incredible, if you will, second family of people in Syracuse that were supporting you, and really I think it expanded all through the ACC and women's college basketball as well.
Yeah, it meant so much to me knowing that people supported me and cared for me, especially when I was going through something so hard and I didn't know the outcome of it. Yeah, it was just like amazing. I just wouldn't have expected that much support from the ACC coaches, that video that they put out. It was amazing. And just all the support from the Syracuse community. I just feel completely blessed with being at Syracuse, you know, because like I could have gone to a different school, I could have gone to a different area, and like I just know that the decision on coming to Syracuse was the right decision.
Here's what I want to know, because I love the Australian accent, number one. So when you went back home, okay? You go through this unbelievable physical ordeal. You mentally got to get prepared. You've gone through everything. You come through and you're flying. You're looking like $1 million. You go back home. You're doing your vlog, even though you have some bloopers. Do your brothers, do your mom and dad, do your friends go, Tiana, I can't believe it. You've been spending all this time at Syracuse. You've lost your accent. Are they starting to sense that you're Americanizing that beautiful accent or not? Did you get that when you went back home?
Yes, all the time. My brothers would tell me that I sound American, and they just like, oh, you should call America home again. And like, they just like tease me all the time because I don't sound as Australian as them anymore. So, but when I come here, people say I sound Australian. So I'm like, well, I don't know.
Can you do us a favor? I want to ask a favor, if you don't mind. And if you don't want to do it, you don't have to.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Right. Oh, boy.
Now, hold on a second, Durham. Just hold on a second, because that accent is so fantastic. I want you to be our official voice on Packer and Durham. Can you just give us a promo? You're watching Packer and Durham on ACC Network. Can you just give me that?
Yeah. You're watching Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
See, that is awesome. See, I mean, who else has that at ESPN, right? I mean, you know, and here's the other thing, Tiana. Next time you catch any grief from all your buds down under, you say, hey, listen, excuse me. Not only am I a big-time basketball player, I've gone through this incredible inspirational story, but I'm also the official voice of Packer and Durham on television. I mean, it's just another thing to put on the resume for you.
Right. That's just the icing on top.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Oh, well it's very sweet that you think that, Tiana. Okay, I have two questions. And the first question is, there's a Nerf hoop over your left shoulder. You're good enough that you don't need the Nerf hoop over your left shoulder would be my guess. But is that just to kill time or what's the story there?
Yeah, that's just to kill time, and when I'm bored, you know, shoot. Just the ball's right here. So.
Go ahead. Give us some. Give us some. Go ahead. Show us some skill.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Come
on. No pressure, come on. Right? No blooper time. Oh.
Oh.
Oh,
no.
Oh.
Sub me out.
All right.
I love it.
All right. Here's the other question. And I'm going to come full disclosure with you because that's what we do on this show. I broadcast games, and I've had a lot of difficult last names, including maybe one of the hardest I've ever had to learn was a tight end from American Samoa named Michael Ho'o Manawana Nui, who played in the NFL for several years.
Wow.
I am having the worst time with your last name, and it's not even close. And our producer, Josh Macri, is a Syracuse grad. He's given me the phonetics of it. Packer says that he's got it. And Tiana, I got to be honest with you. It's been bad for me. So I got to have the secret sauce on pronouncing your last name.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Mana Kahia.
Mana Kahia.
Mana Kahia.
Put the G in there, Wes.
Mana Kahia. Yeah.
Put the G in it, Wes.
Mana Kahia. Is that how'd I do?
Yeah. Nah. Just like don't pronounce the N.
Yeah. Don't Maga pronounce Kahia. The N. Maga Kahia. Maga Kahia.
Manga Kahia.
Manga Kahia.
Yep.
Tiana, just do us a favor and nod, because he's going to hurt himself. That's what I'm concerned about. We got to get the sharp objects out of the room for Wes when he tries to jump on this. But let me just tell you this. I speak on behalf of everybody, not only within the ACC, but follows college sports. Your story is unbelievable. And more power to you. And again, like I said, you look great, and wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Appreciate you guys for having me on here, and I had fun.
More bloopers, too, by the way, on that vlog. All right? More bloopers.
That's fine.
And when we have you back, And when we have you back and next time, we'll ask you to tell us the wildest thing you've seen Coach Hillsman ever wear.
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
Well, there you go. Segment's complete.
Perfect time. That's a perfect setup for round number two with Tiana.
It is. And by the way here, Josh Macri, our producer, has pulled the vlog bloopers.
Tiana.
On Packer and Durham. Tiana, so we've got the vlog bloopers.
Oh, wait till you see this.
Oh, these are my bloopers.
Yeah.
No, this is my bloopers. Yeah, oh, I'm Tiana's sorry. It's not Tiana's bloopers. It's my bloopers.
This is beautiful.
Okay, great. Here you go, Tiana. Here's my attempts at your name.
Awesome.
If this isn't on the best of Packer and Durham, we should all be fired.
Mauna Kea. All right. Wednesday on Packer and Durham, Syracuse women's basketball star Tiana Mankahia. And is that even close?
No.
Mauna Kahi. Mauna Kahia. Mauna Kahia. Mauna Kahia. Mauna Kahia. Tiana Mauna Kahia. Mauna Kahia.
Oh my gosh. I want that.
Oh, do you really? Great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah, Tiana, I hate to break the news to you. We had to edit it down just to that because we could have gone for another 5 minutes. Poor Wes yesterday got so flustered.
It was bad.
I was worried about him. We had to call the paramedics to make sure he was going to be okay.
No, it's unbelievable.
Funny.
Hey, thank you so much. Take care. Be well. Tell Coach Hillsman we said hello, and we look forward to visiting with you again, okay?
Thank you guys so much.
You bet. Oh, what a special lady.
Awesome.
What a special lady.
She is fantastic.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.